I'm Savannah.
I'm Rachel.
And this is
That's What She Said.
About 11 minutes and 15 seconds into season 2, episode 6, titled The Fight, Michael Scott talks to us about how he's friends with everyone in the office.
I'm friends with everyone in this office. We're all best friends. I love everybody here. But sometimes your best friends start coming in a work late and start having dentist appointments that aren't dentist appointments. And that is when it's nice to let them know that you can beat them up.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Savannah.
How's it going?
Well, it's going lovely. I'm so happy to be back here.
Yes, it's a Saturday. It is sunny. It is beautiful out.
Spring is springing.
Yeah.
The early birds are getting the worms.
And the owls are
eating
night-nighting
McDonald's breakfast sandwiches.
How was your week? Talk to me about it.
Yeah, it's been going pretty well. Mm-hmm. Pretty work-heavy week, so not too many fun things to talk about. Mm-hmm. However, there was, I don't know if anybody Googled anything last week, but there was a fun little like moon phase game.
Oh.
On Google, you know how it has like Women's History Month and it'll have like, but it was actually like a little game. It was like
cute.
Matching moon phases or something. So you would.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. It was like, oh, put the crescent moon there.
And is it like, because the like eclipse happened last
I don't know
week,
if it was
the full moon or whatever?
It might have been like the full moon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably. Probably for some reason. But it was so fun and cute. So that was, 10 fun minutes out of my work day.
I thought you were going to say out of the whole week.
No, just out of the day. I just started every day with the moon phase game
I
on
love
Google.
That.
But yeah, so that was cute and fun.
That is fun. Do you have a roast or anything else?
A lot of work.
Yeah. That's a big fat roast.
Sometimes that is a big fat roast. So just been on the grind.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm so happy to be here and the sun is shining.
And you're sitting next to Michael Scott.
I mean, what's not to love? We got this little cutout here. He's staring me right in the eye.
It's been kind of creepy having it in my house because, like I was telling you earlier, when I like walk by or I'm like cleaning, I like catch it out of the corner of my eye and I'm like, who's in my house? I'm like, oh, just Michael Gary Scott. No
it's
worries.
It's like the Mona Lisa. Like his eyes follow you. I could see, I would be scared if I saw that at night.
See, I originally wanted, because this room is our studio, I originally wanted to like fully stand him up. But when I brought it home, I fully stood him up and it was just like a literal person standing in the room.
Yeah.
Like it was too much.
Too scary.
So his legs are folded up and he's peeking over a cabinet, essentially.
Yeah, we'll post a picture.
Yeah, yeah.
How was your week, Savannah?
Did you forget my name?
I think I stopped saying it. I wasn't sure.
My week's been really good. Starting back like last week, with the eclipse and the full moon and stuff, there was like crazy energy going on last week. I stayed up for the eclipse and it was cloudy, so I didn't actually
see
anything.
I know.
So that was disappointing. But the weather has been so amazing. Today I went to go see my horse Tucker before you came over, so really enjoying that. And like actual springtime, like everything's blooming and all of that. So it's been really good. Like easing into spring has been really nice.
Yeah, even just walking around Richmond, it's like all the little pink flowers and yellow flowers and the breeze is starting to come. So I'm with you there. I'm loving the renewal feeling.
Yeah. I would say a roast though for me is that they have started doing like construction in our neighborhood.
I saw that.
Yeah, they're like digging up everyone's yard. I think it's like Dominion is putting power lines under the ground.
Oh.
So that like when storms come and stuff, they're not affected by like wind and trees and everything. So they're doing like this huge project and just like digging everything up. And there's just like crazy stuff going on in the neighborhood.
That's always frustrating when it's right outside your house.
I
noticed that when I turned in, I was like, what is happening?
Yeah. And they had to dig up part of our newly paved driveway. So I was sad about that. I was like, we just got that done.
It's so new.
I know. Oh. But our cats have been watching them like work every day. So I think it's been entertaining for them.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Everything for the entertainment of the cats.
I know. Okay. Beat or bear segment. Let's get into it.
Beat or bear. Mm-hmm. Okay. So number one, beat or bear. Jim's desk moving prank on Dwight.
I'm going to give it a beat. I actually like this one. Yeah. Usually I don't really like Jim's pranks all that much, but this one's pretty funny.
I agree, because you don't think about it. You're on autopilot coming into the office.
Yes.
And then Dwight's like, where's my desk?
And of all places, it's in the freaking bathroom.
It's in the bathroom. Okay. Beat or bear. Dwight's karate hobby and the dojo he goes to.
I'm also going to give that a beat, because as an adult working like a 9-to-5, having an outside hobby is important. Agreed. And he's very dedicated.
Balance. It's all about balance. How about Michael's fighting style?
Typewriter. I'm going to give it a bear. A bear. Because he thinks he's so badass and he's channeling Al Pacino and whatever. But he just looks like a fool.
Like a fool. Well said. How about Dwight's fighting style? Beat or bear?
I'm going to give Dwight a beat, because he is so dedicated to his hobby. He has a very, like, technical fighting style, you know, by the book.
Okay, beat or bear? Dwight's title change by the end of this episode. Change in title only.
In title only. I'm going to give that a beat, because I think that it's well deserved. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long time coming.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to our episode recap.
Let's get into it.
Okay, so season 2, episode 6, The Fight, mm-hmm. opens with a classic gym prank on Dwight.
Of course.
Dwight walks into the office, and there's just a space where his desk used to be. And Dwight's concerned.
He's confused.
He lost his desk. And so Jim is encouraging him to retrace his steps, right? Uh-huh. And goofing on him. And then they ended up playing like hot or colder game.
Yes. Right? So Dwight was like going around the office and Jim was saying hotter, colder, hotter, colder. And he was going into the like break room where the bathroom is. And Jim's like, piping hot.
Burning hot. Burning up. So Dwight's desk somehow fit into the bathroom. And as Dwight is doing his job at his desk in the bathroom, Kevin walks out with a candle.
He literally answered the phone and it was a client. And Kevin walks out with a candle, which insinuates that he was taking a shit.
And Dwight says, wash your hands, Kevin. So that's the opening scene.
Yes. And also my thing is, I want to know how long that took Jim to set up, because he hooked up the phone, he hooked up the computer. And also, is there a phone jack in the bathroom?
There must be.
An Ethernet outlet.
Also, those desks are huge.
Correct.
And then in the next scene, so that's the cold open, Dwight's desk is back in the desk clump. So
So they missed, they skipped over like putting everything back and hooking everything up.
Right. Did other people have to participate? Like, I'd be pissed if I was like, you did that just for a prank and now I have to spend 20 minutes getting this man's desk out of the bathroom.
Right.
So, yeah. So we're back in the desk clump. Dwight answers the phone and Jim overhears Dwight talking to his sensei. Mm-hmm. Dwight has a sensei.
And of course, this piques Jim's interest, because it's going to be the source of many jokes and pranks to come.
Of course. So we learn that Dwight is senpai, or assistant
to the
sensei. He practices karate in Scranton. And we get a lot of videos of him practicing karate.
Yes.
And who else is in those videos?
In the videos with Dwight?
Yeah. His fellow karate practitioners are...
Kids.
Children.
Like literal children.
10 years old.
Or younger.
Yeah. So, yeah. So he's talking to his sensei, right? He thinks he's, like, second in command, but these kids are basically just beating him up.
Yeah, and he's a full-ass grown man. Like, he's older than most of their parents who are watching this happen.
He is. It's weird.
But he does help out the sensei in regards to, like, holding the pads when the kids are, like, going through different exercises and stuff, but for the most part, he's there to partake in the class as a student.
He's like wiping stuff on the ground. Like it is humorous. It's what you would imagine Dwight Schrute would do on a weekend. If I'm being honest,
correct. And he's not there to make friends.
He's there
to do Goju-Ryu karate.
Yes, he is.
And
dominate
and maintain his purple belt.
Yeah, purple belt, pretty high. So after we learn that, we go over to Pam and Stanley, mm-hmm. and Stanley really doesn't want to stay late. He's like, Pam, I don't want to stay till 7 p.m. tonight.
Yes, and we find out they're staying late because it's the perfect storm.
The perfect storm.
Pam explains that the perfect storm is when expense reports and
time cards
and different things that have specific deadlines all fall on one day of the year. Usually, like, each of these things that are due, it's like they're due weekly, monthly, quarterly, like on different due dates. But once a year, the perfect storm happens and it's all due on this one day, which happens to be a Friday, unfortunately.
And Michael Scott needs to authorize and sign all of these things.
It's like four or five different like things with this deadline. And of course, he's procrastinating, like practicing his signature and like just doesn't want to do it in general.
I don't want to work. I just want to bang on this mug all day. Yeah, so this is rough for people who, I guess people need to stay until he signs these things.
Right.
So it causes them harm too if he just waits around all day. Mm-hmm. But he does give Ryan a special task.
Which is updating emergency contacts of everyone in the office.
Very important.
What it is important.
There's a tornado and my legs are crushed and I'm like, will you please call my wife? And we can't call your wife because your emergency contact isn't updated because Pam said it wasn't important.
Exactly.
Think with your head, Pam. Think.
You know, you can just put the hospital contact number in 911.
Yeah. So this is what Ryan's doing all day. He's updating everyone's emergency contact info. Mm-hmm. So as Ryan's going around the office, let's see. Toby's ex-wife is still his contact.
But her last name is now Becker. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to put ex. You just put wife.
So Toby's got a little sad sack going on there.
Yeah.
Jim's is his sister, right? Larissa Halpert.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we even get to anyone else because Ryan's project keeps getting interrupted by Michael prank phone calling him.
Yes. At first, he's Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. This is Michael Jackson. He does Saddam Hussein too.
And Mike Tyson.
And Ryan's like about to throw his phone out the window.
Literally.
But that's Michael Scott.
Mm-hmm. Especially, and he's procrastinating.
Yep, especially when he doesn't want to work.
Yeah.
So that's the special project. This is still, we're kind of going around the office. Pam and Jim are doing palm reading.
AKA flirting. Apparently she pulled up some sort of palm reading thing on the internet and she's trying to read Jim's palm.
Yeah.
And she's holding his hand and like touching it and whatever, whatever.
She's like, you have very nice teeth.
Yes, yes. And he's like, thank you.
So flirtatious.
As usual.
And then we get back to another prank. Jim steals Dwight's purple belt.
Yes.
Which Jim thinks is a toy, and Dwight says, no, it's a message to the entire office showing that I'm capable of physically dominating them.
Yeah. So Dwight says that he could beat up Michael.
Yeah, he says anyone in the office.
And he says he can even beat up Michael. And Michael kind of overhears this and sneaks up behind Dwight and puts him in a headlock, aka the sleeper hold.
Right. Well, he sneaks up behind him. Like, they're talking about it earlier, and then they kind of dissipate, I think.
Yeah.
And Michael's still holding on to the fact that Dwight said he could beat him up.
Because, of course, Michael thinks that he's
the toughest.
Exactly. Especially over Dwight, who he views as, like, a nerdy wimp.
Right. And he said as much.
Yeah.
So Michael sneaks up behind him, puts him in a headlock, and the whole office is looking on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Michael taunts Dwight into punching him.
Yeah. He punched me.
He does like a nice 1-2 to like the diaphragm, and I'm pretty sure like knocks the wind out of Michael.
He's like,
Yeah.
And he has to, like, are you okay?
Basically crawl into his office and, like, and, like, knock everything off his desk.
So, big moment. That is, like, the first fight of this episode. In the office, right, Michael sneaks up on Dwight. Dwight's like, fine, I'll punch you. And right in the stomach, 1-2.
Yep.
He absorbs the first punch. And so Michael's, like, ill right after Dwight punches him. Dwight's feeling really powerful. He's showing, you know, Kelly how to do certain moves. He's showing, like, Kevin or Stanley.
Now let me take you from behind.
Yeah. So he's feeling himself. So Jim is watching Dwight feeling all tough now. And he says, Pam, like, we have to stop him. I will buy you a bag of French onion chips if you go ask Michael. So she gets up from her desk and knocks on Michael's door and says, hey, Michael. And he goes, I haven't signed them. And she's like, trying to get him to sign all those forms all day. Right. And she's like, oh, no, not that. Since I'll probably have to stay late tonight, could you ask Dwight to stay late and walk me to my car?
Uh-huh. And then he invites Pam in, and she essentially alludes to him that everyone is talking about how poorly he took that punch and, you know, is saying that he's, like, a wimp and whatever. And he's like, that's what they're saying? He's and like, okay, we're going to settle this.
And meanwhile, yeah, nobody's saying anything. No. Really. No. I mean, it's just Pam and Jim provoking Michael's ego.
It's too easy to do. It's too easy.
So Michael's pissed off, right? So he gets up. Pam and Jim are like, yeah, get him, fight. So Michael's running to find Dwight. And so they have some words, right? Dwight's like, oh, I didn't sucker punch you, Michael, because that's what Michael says he did. He's like, and Michael's like, oh, if we were in a bar, there'd be two shots, like me hitting you and you hitting the floor. So it's this, like, from all these, like, old movies and TV shows, I think they're like, it's all these, like, weird trash talking vibes. And finally, Jim helpfully says, well, what about Dwight's dojo? Because Michael can't hit him at work.
So they end up setting up a duel at Dwight's dojo.
Downsizing. Nope, let's take a long lunch and go to a dojo and watch these two men fight.
Literally, downsizing is still lurking in the shadows of this season. And, you know, Michael kind of makes an excuse of, like, they're not going to downsize if we, you know, miss a few hours or take a long lunch or whatever.
No, he says, later he says to Stanley, they're not going to downsize if we miss, if I miss a few deadlines. That's not how business works.
Yes, yes. And it's like, actually, yeah, it kind of is.
But we're doing it anyway. So we're going to the dojo in the middle of the workday.
Yeah, so everyone from the office, it's everybody, right?
Not Stanley.
Toby.
Not Ryan. No, I think it's like half.
It yeah, might be half. It's a good crowd, though.
Yeah, Phyllis, Creed, Kevin,
Meredith, Sweet Jim, Pam. Yeah. So they all take time out of their day to go watch this fight happen. And so it is dojo time.
It is dojo time. So we get to the dojo. We see Sensei Ira, who is Dwight's sensei. Michael notices a sign on the wall that is Japanese for California roll.
No, it's not.
It's a sign for eternal discipline, actually. Gets corrected. But basically, right, Michael's fish out of water here. He's pretending he's, like, street tough. And this is a very, like, structured, right? So his contrasting fighting style to Dwight's also is a big part of this.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, he shows up. He's got, like, his undershirt on, his dress pants and his dress shoes on. And Sensei Ira is like, you need to take your shoes off. It's a sign of respect. And Michael's like, if you were to take your shoes off in my office, it would be a sign of disrespect.
Yeah.
Stinky feet. Kind of a yin and yang thing. He keeps, like, saying that throughout the episode.
He has no clue what he's saying.
No.
And Dwight, in contrast, is obviously a goof, but very disciplined and formal and has been here before. So he knows
how. He takes it very seriously. Yeah,
he's in his uniform. Like, he knows how it works. So there is, before the actual fight, we'll get into two quick things. Yep. There is an awkward moment with Pam and Jim.
Yeah. So Pam has, like, one of the, like, hitting pads on her hand, and they're, like, messing around with it. And it leads to Jim, like, picking Pam up from behind and, like, kind of tickling her in a way.
Yeah, they're like play fighting.
Yeah, and her shirt comes up and she's like, no, put me down. And then Meredith sees.
Meredith turns around.
Yeah. And then Pam, that's when Pam is like, no, stop, really, put me down. Hey, stop. And then like Jim is so offended and confused.
And she's embarrassed and walks away.
Yeah.
So again, it's just that like crazy flirting leading to a moment where they're both embarrassed.
Yeah.
But it's like, we knew this was, we pushed it this far and we're surprised when it broke.
Right. That, and also, how is this worse than her kissing him in Chili's? That's my question.
But I guess daylight and they're sober.
Yeah.
So that's a definitely notable moment where they're kind of, Pam's kind of frustrated with Jim, mm-hmm. right? But was seemingly into it. Like, it's very uncomfortable.
Right.
One other awkward moment, Alyssa, this child walks in and to like get her bag or something, and Sensei goes, oh, hey, Alyssa. And, you know, he says to everyone, that's my senpai. She's going to regionals or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And then Dwight looks annoyed.
There's a talking head of Dwight being like, I guess she's senpai. And yes, she did good at national or whatever. But he's like, that's because our competition was a bunch of 13-year-old girls. Like, yeah. You're practicing karate with a bunch of 13-year-old girls.
Children. Yeah, exactly.
So the actual fight.
Yes, we get into the actual fight. So Sensei Ira explains that any kicks or hits to the chest, stomach, or kidneys would award them a point, essentially. Mm-hmm. And they need 3 points to win. And Michael responds to this saying, like, man, a lot of rules. We didn't have any rules in the streets. Only two. No kicks to the groin and home for dinner. Like, how many fights did Michael have on the streets, really?
I love the part earlier when Jim's like, cool, like, when you're a jet all the way, right? And Michael's like, you're a jet? Like, it's just, he has no indication of, like, how any of that works, but he pretends.
Because he wants to come off as cool, and he just isn't.
And he
isn't.
Thinks, like, being in a gang is cool.
I know.
So, yeah. So then the fight starts, sort of. I guess you could call this one a fight. Michael's like dancing around, like kind of boxing, like standing 10 feet away from Dwight. He's like the Rock'em Sock'em.
From like Toy Story, the little guys.
Yeah.
And they're all like padded up. They have like little, like, you know, I don't know.
Gear.
Yeah. Helmet things. They're geared up. And then Dwight, of course, is in his uniform.
And Dwight, honestly, Dwight scores first.
He does.
Like, he, like, yeah, and, like, runs at Michael. And Michael's like, what the hell was that? And
he gets a point.
Sensei Ira says point.
Yeah.
And so Michael's like, oh, I see how it is. Like, look out, you know. He's, like, dancing around a ring. I don't even know what he's doing. And the second round is a little less intense. Michael goes, oh, I got his pants. And they're, like, kicking at each other. And Sensei goes, yeah, no points for pants. So it keeps going for a long time, and they just sort of end up grabbing each other.
Yeah.
Right? And it devolves very quickly from there into punching. Maybe Michael gets a point, but I actually think he grabs Dwight, and he's like, 1 point, 2 point, 3 points, which you can't do.
Correct. And he also turns Dwight's, like, helmet to where, like, it's covering his face and he can't see. And he's, like, holding him down on the ground. And then also, Phyllis is snapping pictures of all of this on a disposable camera. She's loving it.
Everyone else is just, like, standing there watching.
Like, why do I have to be here?
The sensei isn't even splitting them up at this point.
He's just letting it happen.
So it devolves into chaos. Michael eventually, like, wrestles Dwight onto the ground. He sits on his chest. He's, like, hawking a loogie. He's like, open your mouth, Dwight.
Ew.
It's very rough. It's a rough fight. But then it cuts away from no more dojo. We are going back into the office.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael's feeling himself now, right? He's like, woo, 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 woo. Like, he thinks he won that fight, even though technically, I don't think he did.
I don't think he did, technically. But he's, like, in his office, and he's, like, quoting some Al Pacino movie. And he's like, man, I need that footage. I gotta have it. I need that footage.
So funny how he, like, really, really goes to his head.
And while Michael's still in his office, he's standing at his window, and he sees Ryan having lunch down at his car and, like, studying for business school or whatever.
Whatever people do in their free time.
And Michael decides to call him because he's been prank calling him all day. Yeah. And he wants to do it again. And so he is calling Ryan and watching him. And Ryan, like, looks at his phone and, like, rolls his eyes and hangs up the phone.
And the camera catches all of it.
Yes.
So Michael gets taken down a peg mm-hmm. from this. And then there's a talking head of Ryan holding up his cell phone playing the messages that Michael's left him all day. There's no boundaries. There's no boundaries.
At all. At all.
So while this is happening, the camera looks over Jim's shoulder and Jim is typing an apology email to Pam. He's sitting there feeling some type of way about what went down at the dojo.
Yeah, and he probably thinks she's like upset with him, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if they haven't been talking since they got back or what the deal
it
is,
seems
but
weird.
It seems like tense, yeah.
Usually they're like pranking and joking.
Yeah.
And then when Jim catches the camera looking over his shoulder, he backspaces the apology email.
Yes.
So it's very uncomfortable. So all these weird things with the fight, right? It's like Michael and Dwight times two. It's like Michael and the whole office. They're like fighting him to get stuff signed. It's Pam and Jim. So there's a lot of tension in this episode.
Especially since this stuff is due. Pam was saying it's due by 7 p.m. because that's the last pickup
shipping.
For overnight. Yeah, overnight stuff. So the fact that he wasted a huge chunk of the day to go to the dojo and do this and he dragged everyone there. Like he could have signed everything in that span of time. And so I think it's just like making everyone super tense because now time is running out.
Right. Now it's like, I don't know, 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like getting to 5 o'clock. So before the end of the day, Dwight goes into Michael's office and asks Ryan, who's also in there, to change his emergency contact information. So he's been feeling really sad since the fight.
Uh-huh.
So he changes his emergency contact information from Michael Scott to
the hospital contact number 911.
And Michael's like, oh, you just put me in. I'll call the hospital. Cut out the middleman. Why does Dwight need an emergency contact? Shouldn't it be Moe's?
You would think. I'm also surprised that Dwight would even go to a hospital.
The emergency contact.
Yeah. I'm surprised that Dwight would even trust modern medicine and go to a hospital.
Doesn't he have some magical medical beats back home at the farm?
Has to.
So then it's 5 o'clock, right? Everyone's leaving, filing out, except a few people have to stay because Michael hasn't signed these forms.
Right.
So Pam, Angela, Stanley, Toby, and Dwight are all left in the office. As Jim walks out, he puts a bag of French onion chips on Pam's desk.
Yeah.
A little quiet apology.
Yeah.
She accepts it. I think it's meant to be a little bit of a awkward moment, but also bringing them back together.
Yeah, because also I think he says have a good night or something as he's leaving, but they don't really
talk,
converse at all.
Yeah, he's like, have a good weekend. It's very casual.
Yeah,
but I think it's just a quiet apology.
Yeah, instead of sending the email.
Right. Okay, so now we're at the end of the day of the fight, and Michael calls Dwight into his office. And everybody else who has stayed behind is like, dude, the shipping place closes in a half hour. Can you just sign these forms? We want to go home.
And
Michael says,
Friday, too.
It's
a
Friday.
Sucks.
And Michael says, I've been carrying this load on my back all day. If everyone could just pitch in, let's gangbang this thing and go home. So as everybody's signing these forms with Michael Scott's signature.
Forging.
Angela says, this is illegal. And Stanley goes, I don't care. As that's happening, Michael and Dwight are in the conference room. And Michael has been testing Dwight all day, apparently, he says.
Was the fight a test, too?
That's what he says. He says, you know, and you passed. So congratulations. You are now assistant regional manager.
Instead of assistant to the, which is huge for Dwight.
That's big for Dwight. And so Dwight's getting really excited. He's like, whoa, so this will be my office now. No. He's like, so I'll get a promotion. No, title change only. Let's just not tell anyone. 3-month probationary period.
Oh, God. Poor Dwight.
Right. But he does get really happy about this, even though obviously it's nothing.
Right.
Michael's not actually giving him anything.
It does mean a lot to him. Yeah, because he's always referred to himself as assistant regional manager, and he's always been corrected.
Yes.
So I think to finally be validated in the way that he wanted to is like so big for him.
Especially after Michael publicly, quote unquote, humiliated him.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that Michael realized what a bummer that was for Dwight, mm-hmm. and then turned the spirits up a little.
Yeah.
It's a good ending to it. And Dwight calls him sensei. Which is goofy, but also cute. Like, he's like, I have a lot to learn from you. And Michael says, yes, you do. So the episode ends with a talking head from Michael discussing the results of the end of the day of the fight.
Yes. In a talking head, Michael tells us, I told Dwight there is honor in losing, which, as we all know, is completely ridiculous. There is, however, honor in making a loser feel better, which is what I did for Dwight. Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Classic.
So Michael Scott, like, he does want to be feared, but he wants to be loved more than anything, you know?
He also says that he's actually the honorable one because he made a loser feel better. So honorable.
So honorable of him. Gosh. All right. So are you ready to get into some trivia?
Trivia time.
Okay. Let's hear what you got.
Michael's two punches, me punching you and you hitting the floor, is a botched quote from the 1985 movie The Breakfast Club.
Oh.
Actual quote, two hits, me hitting you, you hitting the floor.
Not punches. That's a good one. So the actor who plays Sensei Ira, Lance Krall, is an actual martial art expert.
Oh.
He holds a third degree black belt in Taekwondo, and in 1992, he was ranked the sixth best in the nation for his weight class.
Wow.
So he's the real deal.
Do you think Dwight could beat him up?
No. Dwight or Rain?
Dwight. He's no. A purple belt. I don't know about Rain. Michael's "you talking to me" is a line performed by Robert De Niro in the movie Taxi Driver, but Michael misattributes it to Al Pacino in Raging Bull.
And I know what he's talking about. You talking to me?
Yeah. But that's why, like, everything he says is just misattributed or, like, weird comedy
weird
sketches.
Pop culture. Yeah. So you were wondering about Rainn Wilson's martial art ability. He actually did study martial arts in college, and he has a yellow belt. The writers did not know that Rainn Wilson or Lance Krall had martial art experience when they wrote and casted the episode, which is really interesting.
That is
like, how
really
did they just so happen, like, to, you know,
what are the
have
odds?
Lance, and he's like a champion or whatever. Like, that's crazy.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So Rainn Wilson, yellow belt.
So, if you notice that during Dwight's talking head, he talks about his grandparents at one point, and he basically says his grandfather was a Nazi.
Oh my God.
Right? Because he says that he spent the war in, like, an Allied prison camp, right?
So, yeah. Oh God.
So, and that comes up again with Dwight's, like, ancestry. So, that is just another point to Dwight's history.
So interesting.
It was heavily debated, though, I think, among the producers and writers whether or not to include it.
Interesting.
But it's that, like, they're German, right?
So true.
It's
that, yeah. That's true. Was it part of a deleted scene, or is it original, do you think?
This might be part of an extended scene in this one. Or I don't know, because he says that's his one grandfather, and his other one battled blood pressure and obesity whole life, right?
Yeah.
Different kind of fighter.
Different kind of fight. So in this episode, Dwight botches the phrase tit for tat by saying tit for tit instead. He made the same mistake in a previous episode titled Diversity Day, where Jim corrects him.
Mm.
So tit for tit is apparently
something Dwight
one of
says.
His phrases. Yeah.
The World Taekwondo Federation logo on Dwight's dojo suggests that the school teaches Taekwondo rather than karate.
Mm.
Additionally, the sparring gear that the training dummy had on is actually Taekwondo gear, not karate, as the user usually isn't supposed to wear any gear.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So it's kind of technically inaccurate.
I guess, yeah. They don't... I guess some of them can have like free sparring. If anyone knows about this, write into us. But
yeah, please.
We don't know. But apparently that's the logo is the World Taekwondo Federation.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Interesting. So I do have here a list of the 10 rules that you and I were discussing at the dojo. Do we want to share some?
Please do.
I can read the first five. Do you have the list too? Okay. Yep. So a sign in Dwight's dojo lists the 10 rules of karate. The rules were created by writers Lee Eisenberg and Gene Stubnitsky, further highlighting that this is a children's martial arts school. Lee Eisenberg decided to keep the poster. So the first rule, obey your parents. No junk food. Do your homework. Keep your room clean. Maintain an indomitable spirit.
Don't fight with your siblings. Practice, practice, practice. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. Be loyal to your country and have fun. It's like the most random compilation. But again, clearly for children, right? Keep your room clean.
Do your homework.
And Dwight's just hanging out here with all these kids.
Literally.
Like, aren't there adult classes at this studio?
You would think there would be. Also, doesn't this go by weight class?
Yeah.
He's like four children's worth of weight.
I guess he just does it after school. This is just his, like, after-school sport?
Apparently. And apparently he always keeps his uniform on him because he had it with him the day of the fight and it was unplanned. Yeah. Oh, man.
So another piece of trivia I want to mention is that the candle Kevin has in the cold open when he comes out of the stinky bathroom is the same candle used in the opening ceremonies of Office Olympics.
This candle that smells like cookies.
Yes. So the candle comes back.
He loves that cookie candle.
He really does.
All right. So next we'll go into our Kowak and Dundies and close it out. Okay.
Time for
get your coals ready.
Get your coal, Lockie.
Extra.
Read all about it. Oh man.
All right. Let's hear your coal walk for this one.
Okay, my coal walk isn't anything insane. However, how is this branch still operating and producing money? Like, Michael is so incompetent. He did not do a lick of work all day. He practiced a signature on a piece of paper. And as Pam says, can you practice on the forms? Like, all he has to do is sign his name. That's not even hard, my dude. People in second grade can do that.
Literally. And also, not only did he, I mean, I guess eventually he filled out the forms at the last minute. But he didn't do anything else. Didn't answer any phone calls. Emails. Didn't do anything.
He was testing Dwight all day. But that's my coal walk is just like, how is this branch still viable? I understand they got it done by everybody pitching in by the end of the day and forging these forms.
But he should have done it all. It shouldn't have had to be effort.
Work done. There was like maybe a single phone call taken
by Dwight in the bathroom.
Right. If that's like the epitome of their business, I would assume they're not.
Well, and he's doing lucky well. That like Jan didn't randomly show up or call or ask for him or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's mind-blowing. Yeah,
the incompetence is reaching a level of
incompetence and also just like laziness. Like, I think Michael is competent, but he's just so lazy that nothing ever gets done.
That's a good point. And cares too much about the social part of it.
I agree.
But again, nothing got done today, so I don't understand how this branch is still selling paper. That is my goal walk. What's yours?
That's a good one. Okay, so there's a point in this episode, you know, Michael keeps calling Ryan all the time.
Prank calling him,
all that. But there's a point where Michael asks Ryan for his phone number or like his contact information or whatever. But shouldn't he have already had Ryan's number from the fire when Ryan was calling his phone to find it?
You're quote absolutely unquote? Right. And he gave it to him twice.
Yes. So he should have already had that phone number.
You're absolutely right.
Especially since he's so obsessed with Ryan. I know that after the fire, he saved that number immediately. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, because he had to ask him for it this time. Mm-hmm. You're right. He should have had that in his phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good co-op. Mm-hmm. I like it.
So, next we have some Dundies to award.
Okay, what's your Dundie for this episode?
My Dundie is the I just want to bang on this mug all day because that is so real.
That is me when I don't want to work.
This is you playing the moon face quiz. Yeah.
Just want to play the moon face game.
It's so real. Like there's, I can just like resonate with that so much because there's times when you're just like sitting at your desk or sitting wherever doing work and you're just tired of answering emails and just tired of doing your job and you just want to like
be anywhere else
banging on a mug all day. So that's my Dundee because I love it.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that in my heart and soul.
Yes.
My Dundee is the tit for tit Dundee.
Expand.
This is what Dwight says in reaction to him punching Michael. He says, fine, you can punch me, tit for tit, and lifts up his shirt. So, and he has said this before, right? And and I think Jim's corrected him. He's like, that's not the expression.
Right.
But, like, where did he get this? Like, tit for tit? That's like...
Is that like a farm animal
it's,
reference?
It's like tit for tat, but tit for tit.
Maybe in his mind, it's like, tit for tat is like... two different things, but tit for tit, you're trading the same thing, or you're, I don't know.
Wait.
Maybe, I'm sure in his mind, he's, like, connecting it to, like, a farm animal reference.
So even if that was the expression, even if it was tit for tit, my question is that appropriate in a work environment?
That's a great question, too, because no.
Because it's not. And I used to have a boss who would always say, oh, yeah, we just really want to nip this in the butt. And I was like...
And to be clear, it's not bud, it's butt.
But.
With the T's.
He said it with two T's. It is actually nip it in the bud, like a budding flower.
Correct.
Right? But he would be like, nip it in the butt. And I was like, even if that was the expression, like, do we want to be writing that in a formal email to a client?
Not
like,
nip it in the butt.
Like, that sounds, like, I don't know. I always picture, like... It's weird and sexual, and I always picture, like, a dog, like, nipping at someone's, like, butt.
I'm picturing, like, a tick biting a dog's butt.
Like, so anyway, even if that was correct, like, do we need to say that in a work environment?
That's a great point.
Thank you.
And that's a very good parallel as well. That was a great episode. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. As usual, we will proceed with season 2, and we'll have another business minisode coming at you soon as well. If anyone wants to reach us, you can DM us on Instagram at whatshesaidpod.dm, and same thing at Gmail. If you'd rather email us, we are still looking for guests as well, if you're interested. Yeah, so I think that about covers it.
I think it does. Except I have one more thing.
What is it?
It's tit for tit and nip it in the butt.
That's what she said.